I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan, and it is Grant and Danny. GP, you are back?
Hello, Daniel.
He is back. We got to hustle up because we're a little bit tardy. That's my fault. We're getting to the Beltway Blitz. Let's start with the Redskins. Kareem Copeland, Washington Post, is with us. Kareem, injury report, it's already doing that thing where it's getting lengthy, extensive, some key people. Who is out for the Redskins?
They're not official yet, but I'm expecting Corrado to be out. I'm not optimistic about LaValle either. Hefke is absolutely out for sure. I think Brandon Sheriff, Adrian Peterson, Danny Johnson, I'm optimistic about those guys going. Paul Richardson and Chris Thompson are probably the two 50-50 guys right now. Paul Richardson went and got that knee looked at again yesterday. I'm told that there's no like big structural damage, but it remains a problem. He's a tough guy. He will probably want to play. Will the team allow him to play? You know, he's got a little bit of history with those knees. And so that'll probably come down to the game. Same thing with Chris Thompson. The other day when they asked him I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, one of the two, whether if he could play, I think it was Wednesday, if he could play today, if he could go. And he was like, well, I would want to play. So I think that'll come down to a game time decision. Also, he's a tough guy who's going to want to play. But, man, rib injuries are tough. And no matter how you move, it bothers you no matter what. So that's where I'm at so far.
Did Jamison Crowder re-aggravate something, Kareem? Because he was questionable all week last week, and now he's on a scooter, and he apparently isn't putting weight on his foot.
Well, the scooter was around last week also. It just wasn't heavily – it wasn't reported because we can't report what we kind of see in the halls from guys kind of moving around. But last week that scooter was sitting right outside his locker, even though we didn't see him. So I was fairly confident that he was moving around on a scooter, and that's the word that I'd gotten from within the building. So, no, I think it's the same thing. I mean, I think it's the same thing that was bothering him last week and – seems to be lingering because he was definitely in a boot and on that scooter still yesterday.
Kareem, quick one here. I know you got to jump. The Redskins offensive line against this Dallas defensive front, I think this is what's going to decide the game. What problems do they present?
DeMarcus Lawrence is a beast, man. If you go back the last 2 years since the start of 2017, I think he's second in the league with in sacks. And then you got Gregory and Taco Charlton, a Michigan guy that I've seen tear up a lot of guys. And so he's young and getting started in his career. So it's definitely a challenge. You hope that Sheriff's knee is feeling well, and you're going to have a good day from Morgan Moses because it's kind of weird. If you look at the numbers, Lawrence is, you know, lines up primarily on the left side, which would be against Morgan, but they do a lot of shifting and moving around and things like that. So it's kind of weird. They do a little bit of both, but that's going to be a big challenge for him. That's a good front. That's the strength of their defense, and they've been playing better than we expected at the beginning of the year. You know, they're top 10 in almost every category. So that's going to be the challenge. They're going to have to move those guys and let Adrian Peterson get some room to run and keep Alex clean and let him be, you know, we keep talking about let him throw downfield. Well, he's got to have the time to do so.
Thanks for the info, Kareem. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Anytime.
Check out Kareem Copeland's work in the Washington Post. Let's talk hoops. 113-112, the Heat beat the Wizards last night at Capital One Arena. Chase, is it too early in the season to say that was a bad loss?
Oh, it was a terrible loss. I think the Heat had no business winning that game. They shot 39% in the game, and the only reason why they were in it is because they out-rebounded the Wizards 55-40 and had 22 offensive rebounds. And that, of course, was I guess, perfectly poetic in the way that the game ended, because it ended on an offensive rebound where Marquis Forrest didn't close out. Kelly Olynyk got the ball and laid it in for an easy lay-in. So the Wizards had a real problem last night simply hustling and boxing out their opponent. And I think, obviously, if Dwight Howard was there, then the rebounding margin would probably be a little bit different. But 22 offensive rebounds is insane. The Heat were able to take 16 more shots than the Wizards. So I think that's a tough way to lose when you know that all you had to do was just try a little bit harder on certain plays and you would have easily won that game, because the Heat did not play well offensively. They just hustled for second chances.
Chase, the Otto Porter take more shots renaissance is in full swing. The entire offseason focus, getting him more looks, all the threes that he was going to take. 7 shots from the field, no three-point attempts. Let me know when anything changes.
Yeah, not a single three. I mean, I think the Heat deserve a little bit of credit because
they do
have a good perimeter defense. Josh Richardson, I think, is one of the most underrated players in basketball, but that's completely unacceptable. And I think it's going to be, you know, over the course of the season, a lot easier said than done for Otto to get his shots because, you know, I've been talking to other Wizards beat reporters about this. He averaged 11.5 shots per game last year, and they want him to shoot more. But that number was posted when John Wall missed half of the year and he had Marcin Gortat in the starting lineup and not Dwight Howard. Like, if he's only taking 7 shots now, what's going to happen when Dwight Howard comes back? And Dwight Howard is, you know, he's an alpha on the floor. He's going to want his post touches. He's going to want 4 or 5 more attempts a game than, you know, Marcin Gortat was used to. So I think there's a lot of issues at play. You know, maybe more plays could be called for Otto Porter, John Wall, and Bradley Beal. These guys could pass it to him more. But I think ultimately it comes down to Otto Porter forcing the issue more and being a little bit more of a shark on the floor. When he gets the ball, it's not just catch and shoot plays. He's got to put the ball on the floor and try to create for himself, because no one else seems to want to create for him.
What is the timeline on the aforementioned Dwight Howard return?
I think he's really close. I really think he had a chance to play in the game last night. The two things that they're looking for him to kind of clear in terms of hurdles are, one, he's got to get his conditioning back because he hasn't, you know, practiced. He's got 4 practices under his belt. And secondly, the last thing that I've heard that his injury is kind of holding him back with is his vertical leap. You know, it's in his lower back, and at first, you know, he couldn't run, he couldn't jog. He's gotten that back, but he's not getting the same lift that we're used to seeing from him, and he's a guy who obviously can play above the rim. So I think that's one of the last steps. I wouldn't be surprised if he played on Saturday, but although if he doesn't, they said he's definitely going to travel on the road trip. So I think it's pretty imminent that he's coming back, and I think in their defense, it would have been a tough matchup for him against Hassan Whiteside in his first game back.
Chase, this road trip that you mentioned after Toronto, who, by the way, we think is going to be pretty good, at Portland, at Golden State. Good luck getting off to a hot start, huh?
Yeah, that's going to be extremely difficult. Portland finished 3rd in the West last year. Of course, the Warriors won the title. And the Raptors had the best record in the East, and I think might have an even higher ceiling this year, even though they gave up a good amount for Kawhi Leonard. You know, Kawhi Leonard, I wonder if he's going to be guarding Otto Porter, because Otto Porter obviously had a tough offensive night against the Heat. It's not going to get any easier when you're going up against a guy who's a 2-time Defensive Player of the Year. So, you know, I thought last night was a good test compared to where the Wizards were last year, because they were playing a team they should beat and were missing so many players. If they are like they were last year, then, of course, they'll go out and probably beat the Raptors.
Chase, thank you, pal. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
The Redskins could be 4-2. And in first place if they beat Dallas at FedEx Field this weekend. What is at stake? We'll talk about why this could be considered one of the biggest Redskins games in the last several years. Also, what would a win mean? Next, right here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, I wasn't sure we'd ever converse today, but here we are being pals again.
I need you out of Houston. With all due respect to that city, that town, that burg, whatever you want to call it, I hate it personally. I'm not a big Houston fan. I need you to not be there anymore. You and me have had some times. We've had a difficult challenge behind the scenes here. I want you to imagine 9 beheaded chickens all yelling at each other somehow. Oh, it was a shebangus. I know it was bad on your end, too. Let's just take a flight home, Big Cat. You and me, face-to-face. We'll make eye contact and make it awkward.
Andres Galarraga. This is one of those moments where when we make eye contact, we both look at each other, kind of raise our brow. We don't say anything. We go our separate
ways.
We'll
both know.
We know what we've been through, you know what I mean? We know what we saw. We know what we didn't see. Couple things here. So let's start with the fact that I'm at a place right now called WeWork. I've never heard of this. Have you?
Yes. Randomly, I have. The only reason why is I have a friend who they just started a nonprofit here in D.C. And it went out of control in a good way, where like they went from, hey, here's the idea. Everyone loves the idea, and it's got all this momentum. And so she's got an office at a WeWork in D.C. I go, what is that? And then she explained to me what it is. It's basically like a lot of dudes in beanies and or like the warm toboggan type hats, even in the summertime, on Macs, like unplugged with like their AirBuds in, doing something like rented office space kind of stuff.
I had never heard of this place in my life. And our program director just kind of casually texted me, what about going to a WeWork, as if it was a Domino's pizza?
You know,
I'm like, I assumed based on the context clues of needing to get on the radio that it's a place where you would maybe get an office or something. That's essentially what it is. It's it's basically a lot of millennials, people my age, sitting in beanbags and walking around or taking scooters. It looks like a scene out of like the internship movie at Google that Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn were in. This place is actually genius.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever came up with it and came up with this idea is brilliant. But they are the reason that we got on the air today. So thank you to WeWork. But, yes, the only thing I was thinking all morning was, thank God this is me and not Danny. Because you are generally, I would say, I think you're low maintenance in general compared to a lot of the people that work in radio. One thing you don't suffer well is just, like, technological issues.
Yes.
You can't control.
All correct.
So, in other words, if we're getting ready to broadcast and for whatever reason your wireless internet isn't working, that is something that you cannot abide.
Tantrums.
And it is an unforgivable offense and a personal affront to you.
Mm-hmm.
So all I could think about was I just kind of sat there. I shut down. You know, when you're drunk, I'm going somewhere with this, you do one of a couple things. Like some people get angry when they're drunk. Some people get jolly and fun to be around.
And some people send food away.
They do. Some people do that. My bit when I'm super drunk is I just get super quiet. Like I just kind of sit there and I don't want to do anything, right? That's also my default setting when I am irritable and I just nothing around me is happening well. Rather than getting loud and angry, I do the antithesis of that. It's just a very quiet, everyone knows what's going on here. Nothing good is going to happen. But your setting is to get very, very upset. So luckily, this was me and not you, because I think there could have been a possible assault today if Danny Ruye was involved.
I don't know what they're doing down there. We're not supposed to talk bad about – you know what? I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't know what they're doing down
fine.
There. I'll say that.
I think everybody's fine.
I don't know what's happening.
The good people at WeWork got us on the air, and that is, after all, what matters. What also matters is that the Redskins play the Cowboys Sunday – at FedEx Field. Good news, Danny, because the Boston Red Sox eliminated the Houston Astros last night, I will be home at FedEx Field for the game, which is very exciting. Going to be one of the biggest games at FedEx Field over the last few years. I tweeted this yesterday. You know, it dawned on me, Redskins win their 4-2. And if you get to 4-2 as a first place team and you look ahead on their schedule, they will have two games coming up against clubs that are a combined 3-9. In the Giants and the Falcons. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like a team that hasn't gone back-to-back all season and for much of Jay Gruden's tenure is going to string together three wins and feel good about that. But there's a path here if they beat Dallas, unequivocally their toughest opponent in their next three games, and they are 4-2 through six. They should beat the Giants. They should beat the Falcons. This team hasn't been 6-2 but once or twice in 25 years.
It's been a long time.
There is a path to that right now with all of the flaws, all of the problems, as embarrassing as the Saints game was, as terrible and humiliating as that Colts loss at home was, and they could stink it up this weekend and everything could change. But for right now, if you want to talk about what's at stake against the Cowboys, a win and they have positioned themselves at the midway point of the season to be in waters they haven't swum in years and years.
So in 2016, Grant, they were 4-2 after a brilliant performance against the Eagles, right? They beat the Ravens 16-10 on a Jamison Crowder punt return for a touchdown. That's how long ago that seems.
I think they won four in a row, by the way.
Yeah, they started the year losing to Pittsburgh, losing to a Cowboys team that we later would find out is really, really good, right? Close game, 27-23. An interception by Cousins in the end zone proved to be one of the big differences there. Giants, they win. Browns, they win. Ravens, they win. Eagles, they win. Then they went on the road and lost the Matt Jones game. The double fumble, then Matt Jones like lined up in the wrong spot once, and Ryan Grant did the same thing, and then was the tie in Cincinnati. The point is, they were 4-2 and in a really good spot, right? The difference is, that year, Dallas was already running away with it. They were the juggernaut. They were the best team in the division, and there was no second place at that point, right? This year ain't that. Philadelphia, I still think, has the highest ceiling of anybody, but I don't see them ripping off 12, 13 wins. I don't see them getting to that stage. If you're 4-2 in this division as opposed to this division 2 years ago, this is a different thing at stake. I think that's number one. The opportunity is right there for you to seize direct control of this bad boy. That's number one. And number two, it kind of goes to our conversation yesterday about the rivalry and how important it is, I think, to some fans. But forget about that part of it for a second. Dallas has gotten you four straight times. Last year, I know the reasons why it happened because of the injuries and ineffectiveness of some guys. I mean, the first game, T.J. Clemmings started at left tackle in that ballgame. The Redskins couldn't do anything. Zeke Elliott had his 33-carry, 150-yard, couple-touchdown game, et cetera. They've beaten your brains in a couple straight times, and they've won four straight. We can't talk about anything else. There's no playoffs. There's no division title. There's no, maybe we can host a game or this wild card. You've got to do that first. You've got to take care of your bitter rival that's kicked your butt a number of times. That's why it was such a big deal back in the day when one of the first things Gibbs did when he came back in 2.0, that was in the midst of that 10-game Dallas beating the Redskins streak, right? He saw how big a deal that was when the new coach at Georgia takes over. We got to find a way to beat Florida. The Florida coach says the same damn thing now that Georgia's got the upper hand. You've got to find a way to beat your rival, to get out of your own division before you start talking about anything else. This is a winnable game at home. You're trying to paint the town burgundy. Before any other conversation gets to happen, you've got to take care of your own business with your bitter rival who's beaten you four straight times. You got to get over that hump. Then we could talk about building the next steps.
What would a win mean is the question. The Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line's open for you at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. For me, very simply, you win the game, you are acting like a playoff team. You will have won 2/3 of the games you played, which gets you to the playoffs. You will have won your division game. You got to win these. They're worth two. You would have protected home field for the second time in as many matchups. And you will, 6 games into your season, be in first place. You are playing at a playoff level. You are a playoff team as of the end of this weekend if on Sunday you beat Dallas. We can get into what a loss would mean as well, but let's get to your calls on this next. 800-636-1067. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Redskins will try to snap a 4-game losing streak against the Cowboys. In fact, since the 2016 draft, when the Cowboys took Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, Dak Prescott in the fourth round, Washington has not only lost all 4 of its games to Dallas, but by an average margin of victory of about 12 points for the division rivals. If the Skins can win at home and beat the Cowboys under Jay Gruden, who is struggling in the division, last year 1-5 and knows he's got to turn that around, the Redskins will not only be in first place and in a 4-2 standing, real good shape moving forward, but they'll be positioned to possibly get to 5-3 or 6-2 at the midway point, with back-to-back games coming up against teams that should be picking in the top 5-7 in the draft. What would a win mean is the question at 800-636-1067. Danny, for me, a win means the Redskins at the halfway point of the year are going to be looking playoff bound. They're going to, for the first time in several seasons, get off to the type of start where it would take a collapse to not make the playoffs, but they got to beat Dallas first.
So a couple things. You touched on that, and you're right. Ending this losing streak, huge. it ends or would put a cease for a couple conversation points, narratives, whatever words you want to use to describe them. What are the questions that have plagued the Redskins here these last couple weeks? Every other post that Dan Steinberg has put up here via his Twitter account has been the Redskins win one, lose one, win one, lose one. They're the ultimate 500 team. Every step forward, there's a step back. That's what everyone's being asked about. That ends for at least a week, right? Then this Jay Gruden big game thing. How real is it? I don't know. I do know there are a couple of really negative, bad examples for, quote, big games where the Redskins have had opportunities like this one where they have looked flat, not shown up, been outplayed, been dominated, whatever you want to say. It could put an end to those discussions for a while until the next game where they don't look particularly good. But this one would go a long way for that, I think. You don't have those questions at Redskins Park for a week plus, for 2 weeks, however long it would go, right? You end those kinds of discussions, and I think that's only good. I don't think anybody needs to hear, hey, how come you guys play well and then play crappy? They know. They're aware that they play well and then play crappy. Let's not add the crappy to it. Let's just keep playing well because we're capable of it. I think that's a huge deal for this game as well.
Many of you guys will be at the game at FedEx Field. We've got two tickets we're going to give away in the final hour of the show today. So two more of you that don't know it yet are going to go. You just got to listen to our show today, enjoy the conversation, and eventually call in when you hear three Redskins making plays at 12:55. I guess Dar's telling me we're going to just give them away at 12:55.
12:55, yes.
Okay, so we could do that instead. 800-636-1067 is the number. That's 800-636-1067 here on Grant and Danny. What do the people think? What does a win mean?
Oscar in D.C. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, dude.
You know, just wanted to say I'm a Washingtonian born and raised. This win for me, if the Redskins went out there and took care of business, the only thing it means for me is that I have privilege to talk smack to Cowboy fans, which are close friends of mine as well. As far as that, I don't trust this team. It's the ups and downs of all the years. The game is going to go as all the other games have gone. We're going to be trailing by 7 points, maybe 10 points. Then we're going to get to the fourth quarter. We're going to lose a possession. They're going to go up by double digit, whatever it is. That's exactly how it goes every time, and I'm sick and tired of it. I don't think they know in the locker room what this actually means to the city because they always go out there, and they do not impress me when they play Dallas. The last time they impressed me was what, Colt McCoy? And even then, I was on the edge of my seat the entire time because I was like, this noodle-arm guy can't throw past 50 yards.
Yeah, that wasn't as much fun. Oscar, thank you, buddy. I hear that. And, Grant, I think that sentiment, maybe not exactly word for word, but that is shared because how many times can you get up and get disappointed? How many times can you ask, you know, the hottest girl in school to prom and be told no, you know, before you stop with the anticipation, you stop dreaming on it. You know what I mean? How many times can you say, let's get up for this game, this is a big one, what a chance, and then the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. The home opener, I'm ginned up. You can't score a touchdown against the Colts.
Right.
I understand that, man. You're pretty beaten down.
Yeah, I think that Redskins fans, if you're looking at what has frustrated them most over the years, the team's lack of success and lack of playoff appearances and inability to contend for anything meaningful, let alone a Super Bowl, is number one. But right there below that, and we got to the core of this yesterday, number two would be just how bad they've been against the Cowboys. I mean, there is no consternation that comes from losses, and there is no amount of embarrassment or shame or dealing with people jawing at you that is worse than when they lose to Dallas. I think the reason they've struggled so much against the Cowboys over the years, specifically under Gruden, but I think over really now the better part of a decade, Danny, they have not been built necessarily in a way where the Cowboys have been a great matchup. If you think about the teams the Redskins do well against, even the really good ones, the Green Bay Packers as an example, New Orleans, Monday night notwithstanding, but over the years they've had success against more finesse, spread you out, throw the ball, get up and down the field type teams. That's just always been a better matchup than the big, bruising, physical, plodding Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, Dallas Cowboys. So I think, really, it's not just a Dallas thing. It's a style of play thing. But they are better equipped to play that brand of football now. They've drafted offensive and defensive linemen, and specifically up front, D linemen, each of the last 2 years. They're much better at stopping the run. Carolina came in the best run team in the conference, and they shut them down. Dallas is another one of the elites in that regard. When's the last time you felt like they could stop the run? They've gone from dead last in that category to 12th this season. So I give them a chance I didn't in the past, and I think it's just because stylistically, philosophically, they've made some adjustments.
Chris in Hyattsville, what does this game mean?
Danny, real quick before I mention that game, earlier you were talking about Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator, making you feel old.
Yeah.
I have four words for you. Mark Pryor, bullpen coach.
Yeah, that's another one too. I went to see him at the College World Series years ago, thinking he was the next big prospect, and now he's a bullpen coach. I'm just an old person. Chris, what would a win mean this week?
I think it's the difference between Jay Gruden staying on as coach of the Skins and getting an extension or being out at the end of the year. I mean, not just this game, but this next stretch of three or four games that could catapult them to the top of the division, maybe even having a chance of, heaven forbid, a bye in the playoffs and a home game, which they haven't had in God knows how long.
It's been a minute, yeah.
I think that, you know, they need to come out and announce their presence with authority, if you get me, and take hold of this game and take it by the horns and just drive the Cowboys into the dirt, because they haven't done that in so long. And that would be a really big emotional boost for the team, for the fan base, for everyone. But if they go 500 or, you know, 2-3 or, you know, whatever over the next stretch, it's just going to be same old Skins, and I don't think Jay Gruden survives.
Yeah, it's more of the same. I mean, again, I know his point, Grant. It's not that Jay Gruden's getting fired if they lose this game, but it's the idea of it. It's the, can you get us over the hump? You are here to lead us out of the primordial soup of 3-13. We've done that. We're mediocre now. We're right in the middle, and that's fine, middle of the pack. The next step is why we preach some continuity. Games like this are what the next step is all about.
Completely agree. And I think what Chris just said gets me to thinking about the next part of this, which the loss would signify, among other things, that they just aren't that good.
Yeah, that's that too.
Because the stars have aligned beautifully. One of these years, and we always say, why can't the Redskins have that season where everything just goes their way and they get to double-digit wins? And you know, all the stories are about them on Fox NFL Countdown with Terry Bradshaw and company. Well, this is lining up like maybe it could be that type of year. You just have to accept the gifts that you're being given. Your division is not any good. If you beat Dallas, this could be a road game. This could be a Cowboys team that is better than it is, but you're getting a pedestrian team. They could have been coming off of a dud. Maybe you would have taken them lightly. Instead, they played probably the best game they'll play all season this past week. So you've gotten the wake-up call and the coffee in the morning to get you going and so that you know you've got to play well. You don't even have to be that good to, at home in the division against a rival, to come out and play inspired football. That's just what even the bad teams in this league do. But if you stay on this roller coaster where you're still 500 after six games and you had this golden opportunity in your hands, Danny, to get to a point where you could be 4-2 with the Giants and the Falcons coming up and you don't take advantage of that, this is 2015 and 16 and 14 and 13 and 9 and 8. Nothing matters because it's the exact same deal. What if they lose? That's a good question. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Remember, in about 13 minutes, we are giving away tickets to see the Redskins and the Cowboys right here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if it's the week of practice. I mean, like I said this before. I mean, I've yet to see a lack of effort or work ethic. I mean, this team works really, really hard to prepare, going about their business from top to bottom, you know, the entire building. I'm lumping into that. I think, if anything, you just hope maybe our sense of urgency on the details, the sense of urgency, period, and about everything that we're doing. I think that, and that's only natural as the weeks goes on, that mounts. I think that's good. I think that's healthy. It's what you want. So, yeah, hopefully we just kind of, I think, carry that with us.
that was Alex Smith, who's getting ready to start against the Cowboys for the first time as a quarterback in Washington. A matchup he'll find out come Sunday at 1 o'clock that means more to this fan base than any of the other games he'll play in his time here in D.C., certainly in the regular season. 1:30 today, Matt Harmon of Yahoo Sports. Always love catching up with him, going around the NFL, getting you set not only for some of the big matchups of the weekend, but from a fantasy perspective, some things you can look out for. So make sure you're listening to Grant and Danny at that time. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067 on what a Redskins loss would mean against Dallas. Now, I was just thinking about this, Danny, looking at the standings. I think this game is not only massive for Jay Gruden, but it's got to be maybe bigger or just as big for Jason Garrett, who's been in Dallas forever at this point. Because let's say the Cowboys do lose, the Redskins get to 4-2, and you're now not only behind them in the division by, at that point, a substantial margin because not having the tiebreaker, and you would have to win on Thanksgiving night or else you're probably cooked. But you'd have to think that Jason Garrett, who cost them a game by not going for a fourth down in overtime just a couple of weeks ago, at some point his chair is going to get warmer. We're saying a loss for the Redskins means you're in that mediocre bucket. You're probably going to finish in the 8-8 mix again. It would do the exact same thing for Dallas, and they're deeper into their season. And it would be worse maybe for Garrett because he's farther along in his tenure. I think he needs this game probably more than Jay Gruden does.
It's interesting, and it makes sense. I mean, you wonder, and I can't speak to the exact dynamic there, because I know Jerry Jones loves Jason Garrett because Jason Garrett, the clapper, does exactly what Jerry Jones wants. And Jerry Jones doesn't like head coaches who think for themselves and are successful doing it their way. He wants a Jerry Jones way. So that's the only counter dynamic to that, Grant, is the behind the scenes, that Jason Garrett gets to have dinner at Jerry Jones's house maybe, and that kind of negates what you're saying. But in terms of record, absolutely. That's on the line. This Cowboys team, by the way, has a window that is delightfully about to close. And here's what it is, where you don't have to pay your quarterback anything. You don't have to pay him very much. He's a fourth-round pick. If you want him, you pay $20 million, basically, for bottom third of the league production at this stage. That's going to change how they're built. They got a lot of nice young pieces, especially on the offensive line, defensive line, their front seven, a lot of really good players. Some of those guys are going to have to go. Or you got to start over with a young quarterback. Now, maybe that works out for them the way it worked out for Dak, but this window right here is closing. That could also lead to some transition. They should beat the Redskins. Honestly, I think they should. If you look at the Redskins' injury report, there's nobody that's going to threaten Dallas down the field, which I think is where you could expose them a little bit because their secondary is just okay. I think this is a matchup that Dallas should win, to be honest with you. Whether they will or not obviously remains to be seen, but I'm with you. There's a lot on the line for Garrett as well.
Yeah, at some point he's got to prove that he can do more than just be okay. He's basically perfected what we fear Jay Gruden might become.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what Jason Garrett is. Like, we are worried that maybe Jay Gruden's a coach that can just get you to the 8-8 mix, and he can't get over that. It's now known, it's definitive, it's over, the conversation has ended. That's who Jason Garrett is, and for whatever reason the Cowboys seem content with that because he's tight with the owner. But a loss for him would be pretty devastating. Gruden has a chance, if he can get this win in this game, for the trajectory to be very different.
800-636-1067 is the phone number. Let's do this, GP. You brought it up before the break. What would a loss mean for the Redskins? What would a loss mean? Because here's where I'm at on this. It is Dennis Green style. It is what we thought it was, right? There's a reason that when you listen to radio Monday morning, or we're on Twitter looking at the blogs or any place that you go for your Redskins content, whatever serves your need, there's a reason people weren't thrilled with the fact they just beat a really good team at home to go 3-2. Carolina's good. They're not great. They're good. That's a quality win after that New Orleans debacle on Monday Night Football, right? People should have been probably more excited than they were in retrospect, right? But everybody kind of knows. There's this feeling. There's this, yeah, but wait for the other shoe to drop. If that happens and they lose, that shoe drops, and it's why am I getting excited? Why am I going to build myself up? Right? It's going to be that more of the same womp womp kind of feeling.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. It's at some point it's got to turn. At some point you've got to win one of these games where everything is aligning for you. And they have never been able to do it under Jay Gruden other than the 1 month in December in 2015 when they won the division. Do you think in winning organizational, strong-cultured fan bases, in markets where the team is successful, when someone says, if the Redskins win on Sunday, they'll be 4-2 taking on two teams that are 3-9. The reaction is cynical and a bunch of people joking about how it's a guaranteed loss and, well, I guess there's no chance they can win. That's because time and time and time again, when everything seems to set up for them, they refuse to accept the benefit of some luck, of some breaks, of some bounces, of a fortuitous schedule. This is what they've been. This is who they are, but they get to change it. That's the beauty of this thing. If they can beat the Cowboys, then the most cynical, angry, broken Redskins fan has to call up on Monday and say, maybe they're turning a corner. Maybe this is different. I understand that they will have lost two games that you wish they will have won. You're not going to go undefeated, and this team's not close to good enough to win 13 or 14 games. So they're going to lose several. But if they're 4-2 through 6 with the schedule they've got coming up, they're 5-3 through 8 in this town on your way to 10-6, that would be massive. There should be parties being thrown if they beat Dallas and they go into next week with a chance to get to 6-2.
The prosperity that they haven't dealt very well with would be right there in front of them. That's what's on the line. Again, is the all we ask for. I mean, our threshold has gone down so much, GP. Since I was a kid, it was obviously before you were really formed as Grant Paulson. But when I was a kid, the threshold was NFC title game. Whoever wins it, either the Redskins or their opponent's going to go win the Super Bowl. Every year they had a chance at winning the whole damn thing if injuries went their way and a couple other breaks, right? They were so good for so long. It's either us, the Niners, or the Giants are basically winning the Super Bowl every damn year. And it was amazing. That threshold has steadily gone down and down and down and down. Now what I'm asking for as a fan is December relevance. December relevance. And you can exceed that goal with wins here in October, with very winnable games. The seas have parted. They don't have a single team on their leisure next, okay, that has a winning record, a couple 500 teams and worse. What better situation is there in sport, I ask you, for the chance to take advantage of an opportunity? They've had them before, and we all know the stories. We all know about the Giants game of 2016 that still has their pantaloons in a bunch over there at Redskins Park. We understand all of these things, and it would be another letdown that would just be hard for this fan base, I think, this year, despite all the good initiatives from the business side to kind of come back from.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Chris Russell joins us to break the matchup down in detail. We'll X and O and get analysis from him next. Can the Redskins get to 4-2? Right now, though, the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 is going to win a pair of tickets to see the Redskins and the Cowboys at FedEx Field via the Washington Redskins. Tickets are available at the Redskins box office or at Redskins.com. For more information, go to FanTV.com. Next, let's go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.